I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We got to talk to Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons.
You mean Wes Drewham.
And Wes, as always, good to chat with you.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Man, we're good. We're up here at Flowery today talking to Coach.
Good.
Had a great conversation with him and, you know, considering how we feel and how I think most Falcon fans feel, but he gets it and he knows. And then Caden Ellis just came in here, and I thought he was just brutally honest. Like, look, man, you know, we know what we're capable of. We're not happy about the last 2 weeks. Where are you at, Wes, specifically with our inability to be effective in the red zone? I'd love to put my finger on it. I know they're trying to up here, but it's like, okay, why are we so inconsistent when we get down there and not able to score touchdowns? Because I think that's what's holding us back.
Yeah, well, that's part of it, I think, for sure. 29th doesn't get you anywhere, that's for sure. you know, you got to be better than that. And remember, I was thinking about this earlier today. I think we talked about this at camp and maybe in one of our first visits prior to Tampa. There were going to be two or three stats that were going to determine what kind of year Atlanta had, right? One was going to be red zone offense, right? The other one was going to be turnover margin. And then the third one was going to be the ability to stop the run with the defensive front. And when you think about it, when two of those three things, in any of combination of the three, go bad, Atlanta's not won this year, flat out. Just, it's as simple as that. And I'm not saying that's the elixir to the whole thing, but I do believe that one of the things that has to happen with this group is they've got to get touchdowns early. I agree with that in terms of the red zone. I think that's the fastest way to fix it is touchdowns. And so you better start Sunday because – the other crowd has gotten better on defense in each week of the regular season so far under Mike Vrabel. And, I mean, like better each week. Like week one, they were 26th, and now they're in the top 10. So I think the test on Sunday in Foxborough is going to be as good a test as you've probably seen all year long. So it would probably be beneficial to get off to a pretty quick start and a touchdown-oriented start at that.
Wes, I know we got to run the football. We got to be able to score because, you know, you said it. I mean, they're going to start running. Teams will do what the Dolphins did. They'll just run it at us, and then we don't get back on the field. Part of all the things, we talked about it with Dave Archer yesterday, all the things fans want to see, more Kyle Pitts, who got a lot of targets. I'll take even more. More creativity. All that goes out the window when you don't get the volume of plays. And it's a catch-22 because it's too many three and outs.
Well, and that's where the you know, we kept talking last Sunday about time of possession, right? Time of possession was dictating the game. Why is that? Because Atlanta wasn't touching the football. I mean, for a good bit of the first quarter, they only ran three plays. I mean, they went three and out in their first possession. Remember, they kicked the ball to Miami to start the game, right? And then Miami went three and out. Atlanta went three and out. Then Miami's second possession is when they had double figure play drive. Atlanta got it back. First quarter was gone after the second snap. I think they ran five or six plays in the first quarter. So your point's well made, Mike, and I think it's a fact. I think that's one of the simplistic approaches to this. Second part of it is this. Whatever was working defensively in rhythm, and I told you guys this, and I tweeted it, Carl, the other night after I was with you guys last Wednesday, and I sent the Florida Evans damn gift last week.
Damn,
because Divine Diablo on injured reserve is not what we needed. And I'm not saying he's a one of one, but it was readily evident that he was a big piece of what that was. So they've got to get that part fixed, and I think they've acknowledged that. And, you know, we'll see what the combination comes with. It felt like Ronnie Harrison was on the field a lot last week. We'll see if that continues to hold true. And, you know, like I said, I think they've got their work cut out for them on Sunday because the cube on the other side has proven to be worth the stock invested in him last year now.
Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, guys. He also calls college football. And As we get ready for the Patriots, you know what I remember, Wes, and I know you do after all these years. Last time we were up there, remember it was foggy? You remember that? It was fog. It was Matt Ryan.
Yeah. It was also Sunday night the year after the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Yes, yep. I remember.
Yeah. And we went up there, and it was like, oh, man, we're going to play Belichick and Brady. And it was.
Yeah.
Remember the Julio touchdown where he snaps, he pulls the ball away from being an interception at the goal line?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
I'm thinking about those vivid memories. Now, we lost the game, if I remember correctly. But it was it was a foggy night, and I'm like – boy, we got to go up here. The weather's going to be nice this weekend. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, super cold or any craziness. Yeah.
You think that? Okay.
Well, I hope. And I'm just saying to myself, Michael Penix, I need him back on the field this weekend. And this is no disrespect to Kirk Cousins. Kirk just didn't I felt like he didn't help us last weekend. And that's not a shot specifically at him. The team didn't play well. But I needed him to elevate us. And I just didn't feel like that happened. And I'm like, I need Penix back on the field. I need him to get back out there and give us something.
Well, he gives you a vibe when he plays.
Yes.
He's one of those guys that gives you a vibe. And, you know, I'm not going to draw the analogy to any one specific player, but the other guy who I always saw young in his career who gave you the vibe when he went on the field was Randall Cunningham, right? And I think Michael's got the kind of Randall Cunningham vibe. You know, he can make plays with his feet. He's certainly got the live arm, things like that. Yeah, and he needs to get out there healthy. That's the other thing, guys. And I think I said last week to you, pardon me, Mike, I'm down here in Leon County, Florida, by the way, handling some of your legal affairs today.
by the way, that statute of limitation wore it long time ago.
Not the guy I ran into here in the airport. I think he's got the vibe, Carl, and that's what you're looking for. And I think the team was playing for him, not that they didn't play for Kirk. Bad start killed everything the other day. But I agree with you, but I want Michael, to my point, I want Michael healthy when he is on the field, for sure.
Right. It's a Wes Durham with us, guys. We'll talk about some college football in just a sec. Injury report, we'll give you the full injury report at 5 o'clock. Leonard Floyd dealing with a hamstring. He had a hard time setting the edge, as did almost anybody that was playing the edge position against the Dolphins. And you already talked about, you know, no disrespect to J.D. Bertrand, but there's just limitations, and the yards after the catch was way too much. The other thing about this, you know, is just trying to get some mojo. You know, Bijan is almost, and I know that a lot, this gets back to the quantity of plays, but if we're not running the football, if we're not a run football, you know, and physicality, I think we lose, and I think we'll lose these next two games because the teams we're playing, Wes, especially the Colts, they are a run-first team.
Yeah, no, and look, in many ways, New England is when you look at kind of some of the guys they've got on this list. Now, Ramondre Stevenson's the one that jumps off the page, but their run game is 21st. Their run game is 18th in the league, and you've got to get them on the ground. I mean, because here's the thing: you're going to have plenty of work to stop the former Falcon Austin Hooper and all these wide receivers that Drake's throwing to. And I mean, and the thing is, Drake's not missing much, guys. 2 weeks ago, it was 91%. I mean, think about that. That's 91%. He was doing that against 11 guys on defense.
Real quick, I got to give you some props. A few years ago.
Two years ago.
When he was at North Carolina, you said to us, this kid's going to be really good. And you called this, and after seeing him up close and personal, calling a few games, and we debated that quarterback class. All of a sudden now.
And I said he's a bum, Carl.
He has been boosted to the top of that class with the way he's handling this year. I give you credit because we all doubted, I think, Drake May really? And Mac, look.
Was that a fit of the Trubisky kind of? It had nothing to do with him, but the Carolina, they're not producing the elite quarterback.
Yeah, and Mac Brown did a great job with him when he was there. But go ahead. I wanted to give you those props. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate it. But the thing about him is that he's number one, he's a very good athlete. Number two, he's really smart. And three, he learned a lot playing those two full seasons at Carolina at quarterback, and he redshirted the first year. And so, look, sometimes you can go pro with only playing 2 years if you got the guns. And I got to be honest with you, Carl and Mike, I was doing games with Tim Hasselbeck that year on ACC Network.
Yes.
Tim Hasselbeck's the one that walked me through the quarterback class that whole year. And it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago when Drake hit 91% of his passes, Tim and I exchanged texts about funny how this kind of works out if you give it time to settle in, right? And look, he's a perfect fit for what they want to do, much like I think where Michael probably fits in Atlanta's future too. So, you know, in the case of New England, look what they did. They went 4 or 5 games last year and then Drake took over, right? Atlanta went a little further before Penix took over, but it's two quarterbacks who are on growth points here. One has just gotten more reps than the other, and Drake's been able to stay relatively healthy. The other thing affecting, let's be honest, the other thing affecting Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels now is their inability to stay healthy.
Right.
That's the bottom line. I don't think the coaching change certainly has something to do with Caleb Williams, with Ben Johnson coming in and whether or not he can or can't process what they're doing offensively. That's a question for Arch, in my opinion. But the other thing with Jaden Daniels is it's strictly health with him. And if he can't get on the field, Washington's not going to be as good. I mean, just flat out not going to be as good as they can be with Daniels, no doubt.
All right, Wes, before we cut you loose real quick on the college tip, you got the cocktail party this week. Still not sure what Florida's going to look like with an interim coach. Still got a lot of great athletes on the defensive side. But
I'm thinking Kerwin Bell quarterbacks them.
and Charlie Pell is going to come down. Charlie Pell and Galen Hall are going to help out with the play calling.
Yeah, Charlie Pell will be involved too. I think Kerwin Bell is the head coach at Western Carolina, in case you boys need to know where he is for a little Gator flashback at some point. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No. And then also keeping a local, Haynes King. Georgia Tech does what they're supposed to do. Anytime Syracuse got back in that game, Tech just extended it, and Haynes King just looks like a rock star. And again, if this was 1975, he'd be a shoo-in for the Heisman, but you got to have about 25 touchdowns in the air to get the Heisman.
Now, here's the thing. You got to play on a team. The Heisman has become as much team-centric as stat-specific. I would say this. If Haynes King can get through the regular season at 11-1 or 12-0, he should be in New York, bottom line. Because when you aggregate his numbers of total offense or yards per game with some of these other guys we're talking about being in contention for the Heisman Trophy, he's there. In fact, going into last week's game or out of last week's game, I think he was averaging more yards per game. Maybe not total offense, but APY, his APY number was higher. Maybe his total offense number was higher too. But look, this guy and his team's winning, okay? And I said this morning with some guys on Sirius. The element of him that is the most impressive, and Mike, you and I were in town when Joe Hamilton was cooking, right?
Right.
We were in town when George Godsey was cooking. Josh Nesbitt was rolling in 08, right, with the option that Paul put in. But here's the thing about Haynes King. He is about the team. He is not about an individual honor. He is as team-centric a guy as I've ever seen, and he is the heartbeat of that crowd. And last year when he was out, it was kind of wobbly at times, but this guy has willed this team, and they're an older team by nature in college football. Transfers have been good. We all know what a good job Brent's done. But Haynes King, if he doesn't go to New York, there's a problem. That's
the
bottom line.
I've been saying it for weeks now, and it's a shame that he hasn't gotten that kind of recognition. The team is undefeated. They're playing great.
We're talking about Pavia, and we're not talking about him.
Correct. That's right. A great point.
Right.
Why are we talking about Pavia if we're not talking about him, Carl? And are we through talking about Arch, Carl, after last week? Are we done with Arch? Is he okay? We're going to be okay then?
Yeah, look, he's concussed. Leave the kid alone, all right, will you? I mean, he brought us back from like 17 down.
I know you were hyping the horns, though. I heard you. You were hyping the horns.
I'm not upset. The kid played last week like everybody's been expecting him to. Let him go, Sark. All right, we got to run. we will talk to you. Have a great call, man, up there in New England, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Wes Durham, guys. Look. Call it what you want, Mike. We're biased when it comes to this Haynes King kid.
No, I mean, like you put him in.
We are.
Georgia Tech, because Georgia Tech has not been a brand. I mean, Brent's changing that, and he's got them, you know, obviously in the right direction, and Brent's going to get a raise here, I believe. But, yeah, it's just, unfortunately, for him, they played at higher-profile games, says Vanderbilt, with the schedule in the SEC.
And they've won a bunch of
more national TV, a little bit.
What do we have?
Hey, man, the LSU situation right now, who's going to be picking the head coach? The governor has things in perspective down there. We'll explain what he had to say. Also, oh, boy, this is either how the zombie apocalypse starts or Planet of the Apes. Research monkeys on the loose in Mississippi. Stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver Wire, Trade Talk, Starter Sit, Mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
Where the players play. I don't know. Rainy, just bleh, kind of a hump day here in the A. We're live at the Ticketmaster Studios up at the Branch where it's raining here too. Hey, man, we just talked to Wes Durham about the great Haynes King in a cool article at ESPN today. It's on ESPN.com about last year before the Georgia game when Haynes could throw a ball 5 yards, Carl. And then at practice, he's just, you know, in a lot of pain, but he's trying to sail it down the field, and he's just kind of getting ready. And coach is texting back and forth going, how's your arm? And he goes, I'm fine, coach. Your arm is good. I just peed some blood last night. You know, I mean, it's one
crazy.
Tough hombre. And
crazy.
There's a great article about his high school upbringing in Texas and his dad being a coach. I mean, he's just that old school tough dude, man. There's no way around it.
People forget, because this transient world we live in with kids these days, Mike, this was the guy that was supposed to turn Texas A&M around. And he went there, and all the turmoil.
With Jimbo?
He left.
Right.
And he's made the best decision that he ever could have made because he found the coach that truly believes in his ability and what he can do. And look, Haynes, for those of you who are not familiar, I mean, this kid was everything in Texas. He could have gone anywhere. And so to have him here at Georgia Tech now and to have this thing that, you know, he's creating this legacy. I heard Coach Key say what he's doing is going to last a lot longer than just this season. Because he's building something that other kids are going to see and want and know that they can go there and do the same thing. And he's right. You know, we talk about Joe Hamilton, friend of the show. We know Joe really well. But you have these decades, Mike, where kids come, and then the next decade, kids are like, hey, I don't know who that guy is, but I know who this guy is.
Right.
You need those figures in your program to continue to be there.
Culture. I mean, I do think a culture, it's something that it does have to matter. I think when you're a player and you can look on the wall and, you know, if you're at Georgia Tech and you see, you know, oh, who's that? Oh, I don't know who that is. I mean, now, granted, Tech hasn't had a lot of – you should know who Calvin Johnson or Bebe Thomas,
exactly.
You know, is or was when they were at Tech. All right, man, we got a crazy story from over Mississippi. You may have heard this already today, but I'll give it to you because I heard this driving up here on the Ender show, and Bo was talking about it. Described as three, quote, aggressive monkeys still on the loose after a truck transporting them from Tulane to another undisclosed location that apparently does research with monkeys was hit in a car accident. Many of the monkeys, unfortunately, did not have seatbelts or airbags. Truck was loaded with caged rhesus monkeys when it crashed on I-59 north of Heidelberg. That was yesterday. Not clear what caused the truck to overturn. Despite initial reports saying the monkeys were carrying infectious diseases, including hepatitis C, COVID-19, and the herpes, Tulane University maintains that, no, that's not the case. The, quote, primates, they're not infectious. We're actively collaborating with local authorities and will send a team of animal care experts to assist as need be. Meanwhile, the monkeys they have caught were destroyed.
Destroyed?
Isn't this how the movie Contagion starts?
It's exactly how it started.
The bat eats a banana. The banana falls in the pig's cage. The pig eats the banana. And then Gwyneth Paltrow gives it to everybody. I saw the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, should we be concerned? Jasper County Sheriff Randy Johnson telling WAPT-TV that the 21 monkeys on the truck, 6 initially escaped. The monkey that got away acts across the interstate. He went out to a wooded area. Don't know how Sheriff Johnson speaks. I'm just assuming that's what he sounds like.
Yeah, look, we don't try to stereotype on this show, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Unless it was like Smokey the Bandit. Funny you sounded taller on the radio.
Exactly.
Guys, you know what 21 backwards is?
What?
12. And you know what's a movie about monkeys?
12
and diseases.
And Brad Pitt.
12 monkeys. There you
go. That's how the world came to an end. Brad Pitt. Bruce Willis has to go back in time, but they think he's crazy.
Yeah, look, this scared the crap out of me when I saw this story yesterday. Simply because how many really got away?
Exactly.
And what exactly are they carrying?
Right. Now, the good news is you are in Mississippi.
Because,
so,
Mike, they never tell us the full story.
The thing is, and they say the rhesus monkey is anywhere between 16 to 20 pounds, but monkeys
it's
have...
It's a killer!
And they got incredible strength. And I've seen stories about monkeys ripping people's faces off.
That's exactly
okay?
right.
So the good news is, and Randy alluded to this, in Mississippi, if one of these, you know, wayward monkeys wanders into somebody's backyard, there's a good one in three chance someone is going to shoot it. You know, shoot it dead, ask questions later. now that the word is out on these monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, I just – this is the kind of stuff, you know, all of a sudden a town starts to disappear.
Right.
Because
I know what you're saying,
of one
right.
monkey.
The Crazies. You ever seen that movie with Timothy Oliphant?
Oh, that's
great
wild.
Great movie.
That's wild.
Another one of these like sort of quasi-zombie movies where a plane carrying infectious diseases crash lands in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. Yeah, it's a good
stuff. They just don't tell us all that stuff. The plane is fine.
911, where's your emergency?
This is Sandy. 231 Rock Crimson Road.
What's the problem?
Police.
Now, that monkey ripped off I want to say
daughter's.
Daughter's face.
I mean,
basically,
it was,
I mean, it's tragic, but I mean, it did. We're just saying these things do happen. We're not giving you hyperbole. All right, guys. Meanwhile, in LSU. They're trying to figure out who the next coach is going to be. Obviously, the coaching hiring cycle will begin. Lane Kiffin is the guy that everybody seems to want over there. Meanwhile, the governor has strong opinions about the athletic director. LSU and the coaching search, I presume it was a political in nature meeting and a press conference the governor was speaking about. When Governor Landry was asked about LSU, he says, I can tell you this. Scott Woodward, the current LSU AD, is not selecting the next head coach.
Oh.
I'd let Donald Trump select it before I'd let him do it.
He might.
Now, in other words, they're a little – first off, the state is football crazy.
Yes, it is.
And that's why if you go there, you'll have all the resources. They're also not great in education overall because generally money that's meant for kids and school books goes and gets spent on contracts of coaches that they bought out.
They are – football crazy from the standpoint, Mike, they're willing to do whatever it takes.
Right.
And that's where you want to be in a place where they're willing to do whatever it takes. But I think Kirby kind of summed it up yesterday when he was like, you know, you're renting that office. Like, if you don't win here after a certain amount of time, and that time has gotten cut short. It used to be, what, 3 to 5 years?
Right.
Now in 2 years.
You had a recruiting class at least, right?
I mean, in 2 years, and the deal with, you know, Brian Kelly, no playoff appearances? That's not it.
Nope. And remember, they had that stretch. He had lost a season opener three years in a row.
That's right.
Before they knocked off Clemson. Of course, any victory over Clemson seems a bit hollow at this stage.
So, who's going to choose the new coach? Is it going to be the governor?
Well, I'll tell you what. The governor's going to be the loudest voice. He's at the board of trustees.
The governor?
He said the board of trustees is going to have that. It's not going to be the athletic director.
Okay.
Well, same thing at FSU. He's giving a vote of confidence. They don't want that. They don't want that guy selecting the next.
I love it. You got a title of athletic director. You, sir, won't be selecting the next head coach.
And dare I say, you won't be the athletic director much longer. I don't know if you watched the Dodgers last night against the Blue Jays, but Vlad Guerrero, he has the big fly last night. And they finally get to show Shohei Ohtani. Dodger fans, by the way, booing Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I applaud them for that. In a city of phonies, they recognize phonies, Carl. They were seen sitting behind home plate. Their
good
mugs
seats.
Popped up on the Jumbotron, both wearing Dodger caps. They had sort of the same expression as the couple from Coldplay. They were kind of like,
oh, really?
All right, fine. Now, one guy that got a nice round of applause, Geddy Lee, lead singer and bass player for Rush, was sitting next to Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who's often confused with Will Ferrell. Not the same person.
Okay.
Chad is the drummer for the Chili Peppers, although he does look a lot like Will Ferrell. They were sitting not as good seats as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. I don't know about you guys. If I see anything with them on TV, it's immediately a turn off of the channel or anything on TMZ. It's like, man, I mean, God bless. I mean, woe is me. You know, you got a pretty good gig. Just deal with it, okay? Please. You know, just stop it already. Enough of you, Pete. Enough of you. Enough of you. Hey, McDonald's is rounding up or down on cash transactions. The good news is not many people are paying for their McDonald's with cash anymore.
Yeah.
This just started. I think it's now here in Metro Atlanta. If you're not using their app or one of your credit cards or a debit card, if you're using cash, basically they got a chart. It's pretty simple. It's up there by the register. If it ends in a cent or 2 cents, they round it down to zero.
Okay.
So it's $3.42. Now it's $3.40. If it is $3.67, now they round it down to $3.45.
I want all my change.
And if it's $3.80. If it's $3.58 or $3.59, it's going up to $3.60.
Don't let that be my grandma. Yeah, boy, I want all my change. Nope, that's not what you owe me.
Well, guess what? You're not going to be chopping with pennies much longer because pennies are stopping being made by the U.S. Mint.
What you mean?
The pennies are going away.
Pennies?
This is it.
I got a ton of pennies.
Well, not for long. The Mint is stopping pennies. I think this is about this time next year, or actually by the February or March of next year, no more pennies. They're going to stop making them. So, and by the way, don't put pennies in the Salvation Army kettle. Throw a stick of fiber in there.
So what you're saying is one day you're going to be able to say, son, this used to mean something.
It's a friggin' penny.
This used to
You can't even buy a piece
cent.
Of candy for a penny. In the old days, you could at least get a, you know, maybe day-day, you know, you can still get it. You can buy your friggin' crappy candy corn for a penny somewhere.
Why are you dogging this candy corn?
Because I talked about it yesterday.
Don't
and by the way,
a lot of people,
I mean, we can do this as a poll question maybe on Friday for Halloween, but I did make the green pukey emoji for candy corn on yesterday's show. We were talking about day-day's got a fondness for it, and apparently he eats candy corn even when it's not Halloween, you wacko. But a lot of people agreed with me that it's just god-awful. And some people agree with Day-Day. They feel that, no, it's really good. And you can mix it with peanuts and other stuff.
I don't know about all that stuff.
I'm just saying. Guy says, people either love it or hate it, kind of like cilantro, said Terry Michael. Another guy says, even worse, one year everyone else threw their hat in the candy corn arena, and it was amazing. It never happened again. Starburst candy corn was better than Starbursts, this guy says.
See, there you go.
I've never had it.
Guy says, imagine being snowed in, no power, and the only thing you have to eat is candy corn.
I'd probably die.
I might chew off my own wrist.
Probably. Yeah, I wouldn't make it. I don't think I'd make it.
Another guy says, Del Griffin, can't stand it. The one candy I don't do. Haven't had since I was a little kid. This guy says, Carl and Day-Day, put it in a plastic container and mix it evenly with 2/3 peanuts and 1/3 candy corn. Tastes like a payday.
No, it does. Now, that's
true.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's true. I have had a mix like that, but I just the candy corn by itself.
People that don't like candy corn are miserable in life.
Roy E., my wife is from Newport Richey, likes candy corn, didn't realize what a psycho I was marrying. Yes. Well, again, if she's Newport Richey, there's a 1 in 5 chance.
You know what might be good is mix some candy corn. I think a buddy did this and put it in vodka. You soak the vodka in candy corn.
Ooh.
He did that for Halloween one
year. That's just ruining vodka. What the hell?
Hey, Oren, we got about a minute left. Cue up the mic. You can find, just search, the Mike Leach candy corn breakdown. We should have played it yesterday. Mike Leach was always asked a number of subjects. And they asked him about candy, and he basically did the breakdown. If you got time, or in the minute left in Guy Talk, one moment before I do get out of here in this segment, we had an injury report, and you're not going to like the names on the Falcon injury report, Carl, that just dropped. So stay tuned for that. Here's Mike Leach with his thoughts on candy corn.
That Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good. The Nerds clusters is good. And then
those
if you go
good.
Chocolate, probably Almond Joy.
Love it. Hopefully you'll get some of that next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
I love that guy. I mean, I always thought, Jeff Collins got the job, I thought he'd be a great hire for Georgia Tech. But anyway, hey, real quick, final note in Guy Talk, hats off to the Arthur Blank Foundation, donating $2.5 million to the victims of Hurricane Melissa. Jamaica got absolutely clobbered, Carl, as that storm is moving so slow. Yeah. I've got my good friends and family down in Falmouth, Jamaica. They were able to get out of Jamaica. Folks are stuck now because the airport in Mo Bay got destroyed.
Close. It's gone.
I mean, it's leveled. Water damage. I mean, just you've seen videos. Anyway, thoughts and prayers for our good friends in Jamaica, and thanks to Arthur Blank's Foundation for sending some help.
Coming up, what did Raheem have to say to us about the woes of this football team? How worried is he? Is he yelling at guys? You'll hear all of that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour live from the Ticketmaster Studios. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.